Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Shabbat scores! Thomas Shabbat gets it through, and Ottawa has struck first in Game 5.
Gostisbehere with it once again. To the far circle. Stop!
To the net, rebound, they score! Matthias Janmark punches in the rebound.
McKay plays it behind the net, out in front, score! It's over! Howden off the one-touch feed. Vegas wins it in overtime.
Late game needed extra time. That was bad news for Marc-Andre Fleury and the Wild on a night when Vegas takes over the lead in the series. The Oilers do likewise. Ottawa stays alive and the Canes advance. Welcome in. It's Sabres Live with Marty. I'm Brian. What piece of machinery was in your, last 24 hours that we haven't discussed?
I haven't really touched much machinery yesterday. I was trying to stay away from all of the heavy equipment that can be used. And I focus more on preparing for last night just because I was excited for last night's action. I mean, the Toronto-Ottawa series is very dramatic now in the sense that, I mean, the Toronto storyline is kind of reappearing again. And I know they're up 3-2 in the series, but it's getting a little dicier. And there was the Edmonton-LA series late that I was really, really looking forward to see that match. And it didn't disappoint. The Oilers were all over them. But you know
what? It did disappoint, actually, because there was only one team playing.
Yeah, well,
it was a terrible game, and the Kings should be embarrassed, my opinion.
It didn't disappoint because I said yesterday when I was doing some TSN work that I said that the Edmonton Oilers should look at how they finished game 4 in the third period in overtime. And they basically they took chances. They didn't just play like careful or they just went for it. And it worked for them. And they went for it yesterday in LA. And it worked for them too. And that was from the start of the game. At one point the shots were 14-1, I think, for the Edmonton Oilers in the first period. Like it was 12-1 and 14-2, 14-15 minutes into the game. That's what the Oilers needed to do. Now, yesterday's game between the Oilers and the Kings made me change my stance on something NHL playoff worthy, Duffer. I've been a big fan of you play inside your division, the brackets and all of that. And now I'm like, maybe we got to go back to 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, just because this will be four times. This will be 4 years in a row that the Kings are going to lose to the Oilers. And I'm like, okay, we're gonna get tired of this. And it could happen again next year or whatever. I think maybe you got to go to 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5 to have a little bit more diversity in your playoffs. But I feel bad for LA in a sense that they're going to get beat by Edmonton again this year in the playoffs.
Well, I don't know how to react to that other than like...
Are you a 1-8 guy or are you a...
Obviously. Yeah, anybody who lived here cheering for the Sabres watching the 80s knows that it was a joke. Like this, but the Sabres were top five in the NHL and they couldn't get out of their division because Montreal and Boston were in the top three in the NHL. And it was like, oh, great. Here we go again. Like, anyway.
Yeah, and yes, I get what you're saying ridiculous. Because of the experience of being a Sabres fan for these years. I was Quebec
pick
fan.
Any team that was on the wrong side of it when their division is
the Winnipeg
elite.
Jets.
The Adams division was elite, and Buffalo was incredible, and they couldn't get past. And this is slightly different, but it never made any sense to me to go back to this format. And I loathe might be too strong of a word, but yeah, let's go with that today. I do not like this playoff format, and it has nothing to do with the Kings about to bow out yet again. The reason they're bowing out is Edmonton knew after losing game one, not that they didn't know from the previous 3 years, that once they find their way, they will be able, and it maybe took a little longer to find their way than they would have liked. But from the third period on, until they took the lead, the third period in game four to 7 minutes into game five, the Edmonton Oilers outshot the LA Kings 72-27.
Yeah.
Where were the Kings? Any of them? Where is the almighty Drew Doughty in all of this? Oh my goodness. He does not look particularly good.
Nah, they're playing too much. They're playing too much. They're playing their top 4D too much. And because and now they're running out of fuel. They're running out of fuel in games.
Except for Kemper.
Five.
Kemper's got all the fuel, and he's literally being left on an island. It's really hard to watch.
So it's hard to watch, and I think there's a big question mark in my opinion. If the Kings are to lose to the Edmonton Oilers, if the Los Angeles Kings would become the eighth team that would be looking for a coach this year, just because I feel like
they just had one of the best regular seasons in franchise history.
They're still gonna stub their toe. There's a lot of good coaching candidates out there. Like, they could be a team that is gonna end Jim Hiller with what happened in the playoffs. They're up 2-0. They are in game four. He has in game three, the terrible challenge, right? In game four, the team just let go of a 3-1 lead after two periods to lose an OT. There's enough there for me to think that Rob Blake and Luc Robitaille would be looking at this and say, there's better candidates out there. There's like, look at what St. Louis did this year. They're like, we want Jim Montgomery. He's better than what we have. Like, I think the Kings could be a team if they lose to the Oilers to throw their hats in into the new coaching, carousel
so
this summer.
Who? Laviolette or Tocchet? Those would be the only two that would stand out, my opinion.
I think there's been a lot.
And Tocchet is a long ways from having the success level of Laviolette.
Chatter about Joel Quenneville, right? He interviewed in Anaheim.
Yeah, but Anaheim's going to get him first, right?
Well, if you're Joel Quenneville, you may want to wait a little bit. And Anaheim's a great, great team. Like, Anaheim is a good team to go to if you're a coach. I feel like, especially if you want to get back into it. Like, they got talent, they're young, they're fun, and you're a little insulated in Anaheim from being in the big markets and all of that. I think that would be a good spot for Joel Quenneville to come back in the league. But, you know, like, Mike Sullivan doesn't want to do a rebuild, okay? So
no,
Mike Sullivan's
not going west. Jim Rutherford said that in his press conference yesterday.
Yes.
He said,
Mike
I talked
Sullivan
to Sullivan
is gonna
yesterday.
Take...
He is a family guy. He's staying in the East.
Yeah, so. Mike Sullivan's taking the Rangers job. In my opinion, that's the fit. Like, the Rangers job is better than Boston. It's better, like, out East in that area, go to New York. You've been there before. You'll fit right in. So now Rick Tocchet has to look at Philly, Boston. Oh, LA. LA is good. LA has Anze Kopitar. LA has, you know.
You can't say that anymore. I'm the biggest Anze Kopitar fan in the world, but he's 38 next year. Like,
yeah, but I mean, they're better. They're better than Boston, in my opinion. They're better than Philly. That may be more the spot for a Rick Tocchet to go to, because it's a team that, and a lot of people are saying Rick Tocchet, like, I mean, a lot of the attractive places are out east. Mm-hmm. He's a West guy. He was in Arizona. He was in Vancouver. He may want to stay out west. So maybe that's a better fit. Maybe LA's got to think, hey, if we really like Rick Tocchet, maybe if we lose, we make the change.
Well, you're putting a clock on it now, right? I mean, if you're Anaheim and you're thinking the way you're thinking, Marty, like, you're like, if LA flames out here, they might go after the coach that we want. So, like, what does Anaheim do in the short term?
Anaheim's,
do they hasten the process? Do they throw a extra half mil on the annual basis to this deal? Like, what do you think happens?
Well, they're making sure they're calling. They're calling again. Hey, try the cell phone again. Try, because we have our guy, right? But I don't know. That's why agents, that's why these guys, these coaches, they have agents. You probably are having conversation with people around, seeing where that's going to lead. You probably don't wait for the LA job to open, because that's up in the air. You don't know. But if you have some doubt, you're probably just lengthening the decision-making period so that you maybe have other options on the table. That's one. Oh, and by the way, producer Jeff said there's already 8. So that would become 9 if LA, for example, was to say, hey, we're making a coaching change. You know, 9 is almost a third of the league changing their coaches if that was to happen. That's huge. And my boy, David Carl, not Dan Quinn, but David Carl apparently told the Chicago Blackhawks, no, he won't go to Chicago. So he's waiting for an opportunity. Maybe LA would be an opportunity for a guy like Dave Carl to say, hey, I'm going to LA. This is a big time. This is still a good team. Like, there could be teams like that could draw a guy out of college.
I don't think LA is the situation. If David Carl is looking for the perfect opportunity, LA is not it. Look at the age of their, like, there's, what are they going to be when Kopitar is done here? I don't know.
Well, they have Quentin Byfield. They have some good players coming through, but they are aging quickly. You're right. But they still have some good talent to rely upon. And
Jim,
it's
Hiller
LA.
Needs a different instrument. That's all I know.
Maybe. I mean,
meaning the harmonicas. He's got to stop relying on the harmonicas to get him a win and actually coach his way out of this. So.
Well, that's true. But they were up 1-0. They were up 1-0, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, they are going to do it, right?
They even have time for a coffee in the time that they blew the lead. And then just, again, Kemper kept it close. Like, I'm for the sake of whatever, going hard against the Kings here. Could they easily have won this? Yeah. Could they have easily won last night? Yes, they could have. But at the end of the day, the reason I picked Edmonton, recency bias, and they do not have what Edmonton has.
Yeah, two guys.
McDavid, Dreisaitl, Bouchard. Again, I'd go back to the Doughty or anybody else on the Kings blue line. They don't have what, and I get it. Every seemingly great offensive defenseman has 26 moments within a game where you're like, ugh. Mm-hmm. And guess what? The offensive studs almost always find a way to hit the score sheet when it matters most. It's incredible. You know,
so I pulled quick numbers the other day and I didn't update them from yesterday, but obviously the Oilers win 3-1 in an empty net. McDavid and or Dreisaitl factor in on one of the three goals, the empty net goal from Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. But I believe it was almost 80% of all Oilers goals in the playoffs had either a McDavid or Dreisaitl attached to him, either as a goal or an assist. Like, that's the team. That's the team right now. That's, you know, they get a goal from Evander Kane. Great.
Well, Kane owns the Kings, though. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
his numbers over the last four playoffs against
him. But we didn't know what he was going to be like, not having played this year and coming back in the playoffs. So now he gets involved. And he scored his second in the series. Yanmar gets the goal, you know, in the third period to make it 2-1. But I was waiting. I'm like, oh, McDavid has been great in the game, but hasn't gotten a point. Dreisaitl has been great in the game, hasn't gotten a point. Well, goalie's out. It's still a game. It's 2-1. They got an assist each on the RNH empty net goal, and they factor in a big goal because you never know what could happen. The Oilers proved that in game four when they scored with the goalie out at the end of the game.
Yeah. Anyway, we probably exhausted that series more than we should have. My apologies.
I stayed up late last night watching it just because I was entertained by it.
And can you tell I'm cranky? I told you.
I also stayed up late watching Minnesota Vegas, which was.
Well, yeah. I mean, imagine the heartbreak Minnesota's feeling based on the fact they had the go-ahead goal late, only to have a double review. The first one they survived, obviously, because it was not a kicking motion as Hartman got the goal. And then after that delay, a challenge from Vegas. It was clearly offside. It's taken off the board. They go to overtime, and Brett Howden scores the winner. And Howden not at 100%, like really, 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 really sick, and yet mustered up enough strength to play last night. And illness on the other side opened the door for Fleury to come in as Gustafson came out after two periods. So Fleury ends up getting the loss. Talk about feeling sick.
I was searching. I'm like, did Gustafson get hurt? And Gustafson, the last 5 or 6 minutes of the second period, barely moved. Every time he went down, he stayed down. It almost looked like, you know, when an illness that comes in like this, I'm not saying it's like food poisoning, but it's like usually it's your stomach. It's like
you played a game with that.
Like Roberto Luongo and having to go to the bathroom and missing the overtime for a bit. Like, but as
did you not ever have a game like that where you were like brutally ill and just somehow sucked it up and played?
The problem, Duffer, is a player in the middle of a period can leave. Go to the bathroom.
But I'm asking you. I must have had a game.
I had a game where I left like 5 minutes into the third period.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to leave. I need to go. Like, I'm sorry, but this is not going to be pretty if I stay. But the problem with a goalie is like, okay, if Sabres are playing and Rasmus Dahlin, the stomach is like churning and it's like he leaves, he goes to the bathroom, comes back, maybe he misses 7-8 minutes of the game, 10 minutes and he's fine. Goalies are, it's a little bit more complicated than that. Number one, going to the bathroom is a little bit more complicated, and two, you can't just like leave and reappear. And it's so anyway,
okay,
I felt bad for Gustafson yesterday because he looked like he was in a lot of pain. And I thought, man, did he get hurt? I don't see where he got hurt, but every time he went down on the ice, he was kind of like, oh, I don't want to get up. It was terrible.
Okay, so Vegas has a chance to clinch that in six. Meanwhile, the Canes only needed 5 to get past the Devils, who had a 3-0 lead last night. And yet, after Aho scores the power play OT winner, everybody is throwing bouquets at Markstrom. What a show. What a performance. Yay. Like, he hung in there. He gave them a chance. And it's like, yeah, but if he had shown up for the first 6 minutes of period number 2, they might not have been in this mess. Now, I get it. It's not all his fault. But I literally texted the group like, you know, Sheldon Keefe could use a save here. And boom, another goal happens. And you're just like, wow. However, most people, except for me, because I was trying to prop up the injured underdog, had Carolina advancing here. And they did in 5 games.
Well, yeah, so you texted the group about like, hey, Keefe could, because I mentioned Sheldon Keefe and his playoff woes, right, with Toronto for years.
Yep.
And
look,
no Jack Hughes, no Luke Hughes, no Brendan Dillon. Markstrom in this game early in the second, it was very average. He was fantastic in the third and overtime, though.
Yep. Woof,
he was really good. But here's the biggest thing. I texted Tom Mecca at 3-0, and I'm like, it's 10 minutes into the game. It's 3-0 at New Jersey. And the line on, you know, in the betting sites was a minus 250 for New Jersey to win it in regulation. I'm like, New Jersey is not going to let that go. Are they? Like I could see maybe they give up a goal or two, but they're going to score a few more. And Kochetkov did not look good. And let's remember that Freddie Anderson is injured with Carolina. I'm like, oh, this could be a turning point. Nope, not so much. Carolina pushed and pushed really, really hard in the second because it was 4-4 with still 8 minutes left to play in the second period. And the third period in overtime, they dominated. It could have been literally, it could have been me and net for Carolina. I don't think we would have, nobody would have noticed. They wouldn't have noticed a goalie change with Carolina because Kochetkov, the puck was never in his hand. And I know this went to, you know, OT, but it was never in his hand. And they went to double OT, but it was never in his hand. Like Carolina dominated the extra time.
Funny how it's often in the hands of Aho. He is so clutch, so good.
Oh, he's so good.
He is, again, just the difference maker, and Carolina rolls on. This was actually, you know, other than the fact it didn't go six or seven, there was plenty of OT drama in the series, and it's very reminiscent of all the past series between Carolina and New Jersey. For as little as people get excited for whatever reason about that matchup, they have produced some incredible moments, and last night being one of them, with New Jersey squandering a 3-0 lead and seeing Carolina win in double OT.
Yeah, great Kaniak's cardiac Canes moments years ago with late in the games against Marty Brodeur, and that was that. Now this one is double OT, and it's a goal. What made me laugh, because after the goal by Sebastian Aho, Jacob Markstrom's reaction, he wanted to throw his stick at Svechnikov. Svechnikov and Markstrom got into it all series, right? Mm-hmm. They were in front of the net. There was some when Markstrom actually injured his own player in the series, it was when he was trying to hit Svechnikov in front of the net. And that was in game one, I believe. And he took out his own guy. Svechnikov was in the head of Markstrom so much so that after the goal, Markstrom almost boomeranged his stick at Svechnikov, decided not to do it just to break it on the net, but he got in his head big time.
So the Canes await the winner of Washington-Montreal. That series could end tonight. More on that later. Ottawa, with every passing game, you know, you can identify the new biggest goal for them. And last night, Dylan Cousins scored it because it was still very, very, very much a touch and go game in the third period until Cousins is able to capitalize on a perfect shorthanded 2-on-1 feed from Gaudette. And at that point, and maybe only for a second, the Senators might have been able to take a breath and think, we can actually get out of here. And it's largely on the back of Linus Ullmark. He was exceptional.
He was exceptional, especially in the first period. Man, was he good. He was good throughout the rest of the game. Look, the Leafs, they've talked about this five-forward power play that was so hot in the first two games and first three games of the series. Now they've gone 0-for-7 in the last two games. They've given up two shorthanded goals. Mm-hmm. And that's, and they had a four-minute power play in overtime in game four. And but they didn't have Tavares, so the five forwards weren't out there, but they didn't get anything done. They didn't get anything done in this game. So there's some numbers. I know if you're paying attention on social media, the Leafs are 1-win and 13 losses in the last 14 games where they've had a chance to move on to the next game, to the next round. Marner's got 5 assists in those 14
that's
games.
That's from 2018 on. So it's encompassing the Marner-Matthews era, Tavares specifically.
So Marner, in those 14 games, has 5 assists, 0 goals. Mm-hmm. Matthews, in those 14 games, has 4 goals, 4 assists. And Nylander, only 2 goals. Like, they needed to have a game. They haven't had that game to put him over the top. And that is
Well, Matthews hit the post right before the Cousins goal. So, I mean, it was...
He hit the post in overtime in game four. And on the power play, boom, he hit the post. But you got
Kucherov is going through a similar drought, by the way, the last 3 years, on the heels of being all world for Tampa from 20 to 22. And his goal scoring drought is mind boggling. His production, obviously, not like what we saw through the course of the regular season. Will Tampa get it done tonight to continue their series against Florida? We'll see. Again, more on that later. But I do, I just want to, before I taint the answer, like, I sometimes run out of words, and which some people would say, well, that's not true. Anyway.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Okay. In the simplest form, why did Ottawa win last night, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, the simplest form is goaltending.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I think that's goaltending. Not that Stolarz was bad. Ullmark stole a game, and that's what they needed. They needed Ullmark to steal a game.
I would say, and I don't...
Ooh, I have a question for you after. Go ahead.
I don't know. Put it this way. If I was trying to teach the effort level that is required in a game. And I don't know how you measure this, so this is why it doesn't just roll off the tongue.
Yeah.
I would frame the Ottawa victory and share it with any team at any age level and say, look at every situation that they somehow negated, where your eyes get wide and go, oh, this is a big opportunity for Toronto. Boom. Within a split second, there was constant extra effort, never quit. And I'm talking every single area of the ice, and that's why I don't know how to measure it. But even if a player like somehow went past his check, the stop up, the spin around with a loose one hand on the stick to just try to interrupt the play. It was interrupting every play. And I was just like, this is incredible. This is what you need. And I get it. You can't do it every single night over the course of 82, but this is how committed you have to be to win.
They've played more desperate than Toronto, that's for sure.
I know,
but
and I
okay,
hate saying it just simply like that because I don't. I feel like it doesn't do it justice. You
yeah,
know?
Maybe. But okay, perfect example. 1-0 late in the second. 2 minutes left in the second. Steven Lawrence gets in front of Linus Ullmark. He has the wide open net.
Unbelievable!
Not only do you have Matt and Paolo come back, but David Perron. You
if
have two
Perron
guys come back
at the other end. That is my favorite goal ever in Stanley Cup playoff history.
Yeah. Because he came back and then he goes the other way. But that unreal. Was to, even if he doesn't score, that saved the goal. Now all of a sudden you don't go into the third period 1-1. You're in the lead 1-0. That was. That sums up the effort you're talking about. I have a question for you, Duffer. So
real quick, because we have McWeese in the green room.
Mike Rupp made this comment the other night when Tom Wilson scored an empty net goal when they were already up. They already scored an empty net goal. They were up 4-2, and Montreal still pulled the goalie, and Wilson scored. He said on NHL Network, he said, why do you pull your goalie to give, like the game was over, it's 4-2, and now you give Tom Wilson a chance to score an empty net goal and stick it to you, right? And so last night, Ottawa, same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's 3-0. Stützle already scored an empty net goal. Mm-hmm. Toronto pulls the goalie again. Mm-hmm. And who scores the last empty
Brady
net goal?
Kachuk.
Yeah. Brady Kachuk. Like, I'm never in that train of thought of think. I'm like, pull your goalie. There's always a chance. But he made me think that, okay, the game's over. Why are you going to give the other team in a playoff series the chance to feel good about yourself even more? Tom Wilson and Brady Kachuk proved that in back-to-back nights.
Well, you should talk to my mom off air because she would be in your camp. She hates the empty net, you know, the giving up multiple empty netters. But I could care less. I can assure you that Brady Kachuk was in a good place long before he scored the second empty netter. So I don't think it's going to affect his mindset going in to game six.
It affects mine. It affects mine.
It clearly does. Yes. The Bandits affect my mindset, quite honestly. I ride, you know, the orange wave and can't wait to do it again on Friday in Banditland. But beyond what's happening at KeyBank Center with the Bandits, directly across the street, Lecom Harbor Center, and we are less than a month away now. This is super exciting. Can't wait to take in the World Para Ice Hockey Championships. That is May 24th to 31st at Lecom Harbor Center. Best sled hockey players in the world come together right here in Buffalo for the title. You can visit sabres.com/world to purchase your tickets. U.S., Canada, of course, the front runners, the favorites, call it what you will. Norway, Slovakia, Czechia, China, Republic of Korea, and Germany rounding out this 8-team tournament. Can't wait to see you at Lecom Harbor Center, May 24th to 31st. Bandits talk when we come back on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
More hockey talk coming up, but Bandits right now as the semifinals, best of three, begins in Banditland on Friday. It's Buffalo and Vancouver. Nick Weiss has been a part of Banditland for over a decade. It is great to have you on the show. How are you, Nick?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
What does it feel like to be a goal scorer in the lowest scoring game in lacrosse history, which is what happened in the quarterfinal win 5-4 over San Diego?
Well, definitely didn't see it going that way. I always kind of like look at what we have at halftime, and with us having five, I figured if we pulled out 10, that'd be good, especially we held them to two. I figured if they double and we hold them to four, I'd be very happy. And it worked out on the DM, but offensively, yeah, we stayed at five, which was pretty surprising.
Now, when you scored your goal to make it 4-2 late in the second quarter, I always like when I watch guys getting a chance to go on a breakaway, and it seems like 90% of the time they back off. They don't take the breakaway. They back off. You had that mindset maybe of saying, I'm going to wait, and then you charge. Like, what's the process going in that moment to say, I'm going to go for the breakaway or I'm going to wait for my offense to be set up?
I just kind of gauge it and think, like, if I can get a quality chance, then it's worth it. But if I think that they're going to get out there and catch me or we won't have a fast break, then I'll pull it out. And sometimes I look at the bench and often I'll see JT either pointing, push it, or often he's waving me off quick. So, but that time I just saw an opportunity and I figured I'd chase it.
Was there a wave or anything from the bench that time? Or you didn't even look. You're like, you know what? I don't even want to look.
I looked. I saw. I was like, that looks good enough. I'm going.
Wow. Okay. And then obviously the defender bites the dust and you still, you know, you have a bit of an open. But it all happened so quickly. And then I think the wow factor for anybody that was in Bandit Land was like, did you see that goal? And it was just the uncanny ability that you and so many others have of staying out of the crease despite all the momentum going forward. Like, how do you process that moment when you're making the move, choosing the shot selection, all the rest of it?
It's in the moment. I don't know if I do think about it. I just kind of hope that I'm out of the crease. And I saw the ball go in and I heard the whistles and the crowd yell. And I looked and saw the ref with his arms up. And I was like, okay, that's a good start. And then always the trot back to the bench, I kind of, you do the peek up at the monitor and be like, please don't show me in the crease.
Now, did you guys kind of like had a chuckle about this? Because Matt Vince had an amazing game. He had 48 saves, an amazing game. But he did have the assist on your goal. Like, I mean, there's some guys that were like, I got 0 points tonight. And the goalie with 48 saves ended up with 1 point.
I mean, you can't say enough about Matt Vince. He's the best to ever do it. And the fact that he got an assist on that and is probably top 10 on the team in playoff points now, that's pretty funny.
Well, you're top five in so many categories in Bandits history. Games played, playoff games played, forced turnovers, loose balls, blocked shots. Mm-hmm. What is it like after all this? By the way, for those that don't know, Nick was originally drafted by Vancouver, slightly different variation of Vancouver. Now, yep. The Warriors as opposed to back then. However, I mean, how would you describe the career in Buffalo to date?
The career, just lucky. I mean, to get a chance to, I never actually got to play. I never saw Buffalo play before I entered the league. Just being on the eastern side of Toronto, if I was going to go see an NLL game, we always went and watched The Rock. And then my rookie season with Vancouver, we didn't travel to Buffalo. They came out to us that season. So I had no idea what Buffalo was like until my first game ever as a Bandit. And since then, I just can describe the career as so lucky to play in the environment, the fans, the organization, and the teammates I've got to have over the past, 10 years. It's been unbelievable.
Now, when I watch you guys, I never got to play lacrosse. I love the sport, though. Out at Easter, I was at my, you know, sister-in-law's place, and my niece had a couple of sticks out, and she coaches girls lacrosse, like in high school, and so we're tossing the ball around and whatnot. And then I'm a natural right-handed person, but I shoot left in hockey, I bat left in baseball, I golf left. So I just grabbed the stick as a lefty, and then after 5-10 minutes, she's like, okay, switch side now. I couldn't do anything like the other side. You guys are so good at switching. Like, is it hard for you to go from right to left, or is it becoming easier, or you guys always had that ability to be able to switch?
For me, I'm a straight righty. You'll never, if You're there's na- a,
oh, never.
If I switch to my left, there's something's gone very, very wrong. So I'm always been same. I'm straight righty for lacrosse. I can cross over, but it'll always still be right hand top side.
Never felt like you needed to work on the left side and shooting left and catching and passing, or it just wasn't part of your, you know, skill set?
No, it's a lot of the, like, Americans and field lacrosse players, they're the ones that learn both hands. So yeah. Growing up, I didn't really play any field, so it was always just right was good for me.
What are you up against in Vancouver, a team that is on a really impressive run right now since acquiring netminder Kristen Del Bianco? And we did see them come in here, another tight game. Vancouver won 13-12 earlier, you know, in the last month, basically. So what are you up against entering this best of three semifinal?
They're a very confident team right now. Since they've had Del Bianco, they haven't lost. They have a solid defense, good goaltending, and good offense. So we got a full, complete team that we're playing against this weekend.
Isn't it weird the way the schedule is set up? You guys could be done, and then obviously, you know, like, you have the two games right away, and then you have a week compared to Saskatchewan and Halifax. They have a game early, and then game two and three is late. Like, would you rather play two games early and then have game three a little later if you have to get there, or have one, a break, and then two in a row?
Hard to say. For travel-wise, the second would be easier with having to go back to work. Like I told you guys earlier, going to be jumping on the red eye after the game in Vancouver and heading straight from the airport back to work. So that's not as easy as the other one would be. But
yeah,
if we are able to pull out two wins this weekend and have a bye for next, that's, I mean, you can't beat that. That would be huge to get the guys a rest weekend.
Anything that you think the group, this group has been literally through everything over your tenure. But coming off of a game, like a 5-4 game, is there a takeaway for the entire team after something like that?
Well, the takeaway is that the win's a win. It doesn't really matter. I mean, if we beat them 15-14 or however it is, it's just good that the guys, I mean, it's easy to say that we only put up five. You kind of look at the offense, but those guys cut off every transition opportunity. They're still getting good looks. They ran into their goalie played great. So we can't really knock them. It was just a good still team win. And it's nice that no matter what happens, we're still able to pull it out, even if it is as funny as a 5-4.
How much video do you guys do? Like, I know, like, I'm watching a lot of NHL playoffs, and I remember playing, we'd have power play meetings, penalty kill meetings, you know, regular meetings, we'd have a goalie breakdown meetings. Do you guys do that as a team, or do you do that on your own?
So we are able to do it on our own, but we do it a lot as a team. So we'll have the offense will do film, the D will do film, and in the O film, they'll go over like the power play and stuff like that, 6-on-5. And same with the DN, we go over our short man, over our 6-on-5 defense, over everything. And then there's always some cleanup clips that JT puts in there that the whole team gets to watch.
You never want to be on those clips, right?
No,
like that's not
I mean,
a good thing.
Generally, even on the D clips, like there's a time you don't really want to see yourself too often until they say, okay, here's some good ones. But the first ones are always bad, and you usually get a couple shout outs in some of those. So you hope to not see your name, but pretty used to seeing it by now after 10 years.
Well, we're used to seeing yours in all facets of the game, Nick. Best of luck this weekend and moving forward. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Transition standout for the Bandits, Nick Weiss, semifinal game one this Friday, Banditland, 7:30. It's Buffalo and Vancouver, bandits.com/tickets. We're back after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Comedian Shane Gillis has a sold-out show at KeyBank Center this Saturday, but you can still get in and watch it from a suite. Enter to win 4 suite tickets to this sold-out show by going to sabres.com/Shane. Again, that is happening on Saturday night. Banditland comes live on Friday for game one of the best of 3 NLL semifinals. And again, thanks to Nick Weiss for joining us. All right, there's games tonight. Montreal, Washington, Florida, Tampa, St. Louis, and Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Where would you like to start?
Well, I just was browsing during the commercial. No Samuel Montembeau, no Patrick Laine for the Montreal Canadiens tonight, and a game-time decision on Alex Carrier. So those are significant pieces to Montreal if they don't have them for this game 5 tonight.
But what are you expecting?
But I expect Washington to win game 5 tonight. I think, look, I mean, good effort on the Montreal Canadiens. There were some tight games, OT game 1, late in game 4, right? Obviously, there was 3 minutes left. But Washington is better, and they've been more consistent, and they're healthier now than Montreal is.
So, more attention in some ways, will be placed on Florida, Tampa.
Yes.
Hagel is out due to injury.
Mm-hmm.
Ekblad is suspended again, this time 2 games, after playing 2 games, after being suspended for 20.
Yes.
I haven't read it anywhere, and I'm not trying to be a jerk, Is Aaron Ekblad a repeat offender?
So it doesn't count as a player safety repeat offender because he was suspended 20 games for something totally different.
Substance violation.
Not that it matters right now, because repeat offender often is about the money that you're losing. They're not losing any money when they get suspended in the playoffs. Like, you lose more money by getting fined than losing games. You're not missing paychecks now. Players don't get paid in the playoffs. They get bonuses if they advance or whatnot. So, but this... Look, I don't know what Tampa's doing. Tampa looks lost. And to me, like, losing the first two games at home was hard. Now they're coming back home for game five.
They were winning 2-1 with 4 minutes to go in game four to even the series. Yes. How do you go from winning to lost?
I feel like they were lost. They lost the first two games in Tampa were the big ones. They lose 2 on home ice. That was big. Now they're coming back to home ice. No, Brendan Hagel is going to be hard. It's going to be hard without Hagel. I think Florida wins tonight. I think Florida closes it in five.
How much extra drama happens within what you're proclaiming to be?
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
A Panthers win.
Nothing early. If it gets a little bit up one way or the other, we're going to get a long, long list of penalties for the rest of the game. But nothing early. That game is too important. And nothing early.
St. Louis, Winnipeg. The series is even at 2. The home team has won all 4 games to date as it returns to Winnipeg.
You know, there's sometimes the arena goes dark and there's a big spotlight on, like, the singer for the anthem or, you know, a puck drop ceremony. I think the feeling of this game is the arena is black, dark for the whole game, and there's a spotlight on Connor Hellebuck. That's what the game is about. Like, that's how I imagine watching the game tonight, with a drop, you know, shadow on Hellebuck the whole game. Like, he's the guy. And with his comments after game four, I look, he backed it up this season after the tough playoffs last year, but regular season and playoffs is totally different. And it is all on Connor Hellebuck. Now, Gabe Vilardi comes back. It's going to help the Winnipeg Jets. But if Hellebuck doesn't at least, you know, play a slightly above game, they have no chance of beating the St. Louis Blues.
What else? Were you surprised at all with the Vancouver development yesterday with Tocchet?
Not surprised. Look, if it's weird because they say, oh, Tocchet doesn't want to come back here or whatever. Well, the Vancouver Canucks didn't exercise the option on Rick Tocchet, right? It was their option on Tocchet. They said, no, we're not going to exercise the option. We're going to go and try to see. I feel like this was settled maybe not 100%, but weeks ago, that both the Vancouver Canucks and Rick Tocchet didn't want to work together anymore. It wasn't a question of money. It wasn't a question of fit. The Vancouver Canucks are not an attractive team to coach right now. They have some issues. And Quinn Hughes leaving potentially is going to be another, you know, wrinkle in the whole thing. So I feel like this was decided, you know, two weeks ago.
Well, for those that haven't been, you're making it sound like Quinn Hughes is leaving right away. Like, you can't just throw that out there.
I would put a package together if I was, you know, any GM in the NHL and tried to get Quinn Hughes, and even Buffalo, I know Buffalo's got the rest of Dalino and power, whatever. But if you could get Quinn Hughes for at least 2 years, I would throw something out there.
Was really interesting. Jim Rutherford was actually really funny, yes, purposely and perhaps not purposely. During his presser yesterday, but there were the moment when he said, our best players, sorry, not talking about Quinn Hughes here, but our best players need to be better. And it was like, oh, so it's Quinn and everybody else. All right. Enjoy the games tonight. We'll see you tomorrow.